Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for the introduction. I'm from a new laboratory called MATEB for Material for Energy Efficiency in Building. It's a laboratory shared between INSA de Lyon and EDF, Research and Development, where I am in charge of these studies. So in this room, I think there is many material architects in the room, but in the building, we have our own architect, and they used to fill gaps and holes in the city, in the street, in the landscape. And sometimes it's excessive, and sometimes some holes remains, but there is perhaps a hidden feature, isn't it? Closer to our subject, for energy efficiency in building, we fill some gaps and holes for insulation and air tightness. In fact, there is many examples of architectured materials in for a building. And these are some examples, and we will focus on these three examples: the traditional insulation material, the super insulation material, and the heat storage material. The field address is the envelope of the building, but also is its equipments. So the main function are obvious, that's thermal insulation and thermal storage, but there is many other and varied secondary function, and they can be the main constraint for the material. My topic is divided into two points: the thermal insulation in first, and then thermal storage. And you will find on the next slide some colored arrow in orange for slide for background and general information, in green for the current example, and purple for the needs and exploratory work. So let's jump to the thermal insulation. The most useful space to plot the different material solution is this space. We can have the two main performance indexes for thickness optimization or cost optimization. This is the conductivity, and this is the performance, the cost of the performance, namely the cost of a product of one square meter with the thermal resistance of one square meter Kelvin per watt. So the goal, of course, is to go to the bottom left corner. And depending on the class of the material, we find two axes to do that. The first is for the traditional material, which are cheap, but we want to improve their conductivity. And the second axis is for super insulation material. They have good conductivity, but we want to reduce their cost. So for the first axis, we can take the example of the expanded polystyrene. That's the relation between conductivity and density for this polystyrene. And the shape of, of course, we want to shift this this relation to the lower left. And the shape of this curve came from the different contribution to the global conductivity. In red, the infrared radiation in the material, in purple, the solid conduction, and in green, the gaseous conduction. And recently, the only way to improve this global conductivity was to lower the contribution of the radiation. This was successful, and now we are able to sell the expanded polystyrene on the light blue curve. In practice, to do that, the optimization of the solid skeleton was already existing, and it was achieved for the last white polystyrene you know. And the improvement for the radiation is obtained by the dispersion of micrometric particles on the wall cells. And of course, to do that, there is a strong link with the process. The same approach exists, in fact, for the mineral or organic wool. To lower the radiation contribution, we decrease the diameter of the fiber. But we have doing that, we have also to manage the other properties, like the mechanical properties, and there is some way to do that. It depends of the nature of the fiber. This is the master curve for the evolution of conductivity according to the density of the material. And of course, to improve the thermal insulation material, we have to go lower as possible. And this was done in the past for these materials, which are the cellular polymer filled with heavy gases. But we want to go much lower than this. And the first possibility is what we call super insulation at atmospheric pressure, SIEP. In fact, it's the family of the aerogels material. There is another family. It's the vacuum insulation panel. It's not really a material, it's more a product. And we will see some details about it. Why we call them super insulation material? That's because their conductivity is below that of steel air. That's the definition. How does it work? If we take the example of the previous polystyrene, we see that the contribution of the gas is the main one. And if we want to go to the super insulation, we have to reduce this contribution. And there is three ways to do that. We can replace air by heavy gases, we can lower the pressure, or we can have some molecular containment. And in fact, these two last ones are equivalent, as shown by this relation from Knudsen. Here you have the product of the pressure and the pore size. And that's why there is a great benefit to nanostructure the porosity of these materials. That's shown on this graph, which shows the conductivity of the gas versus the pressure. And we can see that the conductivity decrease when we decrease the pressure, but it decreases at higher pressure for small pores on the right than for large pores on the left. So we have here the two families of super insulation material. The vacuum insulation panel use low pressure and medium size of pores, while the super insulation at atmospheric pressure have to use smaller pore size. So the vacuum insulation panel is the best material for insulation at ambient temperature. We have some conductivity below the 10 milliwatt per meter and per Kelvin. It could drop to below 2 milliwatt per milliwatt per meter and Kelvin. But it needs a very high protection against the atmospheric gases, air, of course, but also water vapor. So the structure of the VIP is always like that. We find a core material. In Europe, we used made it with nanostructured granular silica, kept under vacuum by a barrier multi-layer sealed and with an external protection with the cladding. So the issue are obviously on the barrier and on the core material. The thermal properties of the core material are optimized with the three already seen contribution: the gaseous conduction by the control of the porosity, of the size of the porosity of the pores, and the solid conduction by the control of the density and of the skeleton morphology. And as in the EPS, we have some infrared opacification also. But for this core material, we have also to manage some difficult compromise between the mechanical properties, the egric properties, and the thermal properties. And the knowledge to do that is not sufficient. We have poor knowledge, or sometimes we haven't nothing. So the specification is very complex. To simplify, on one hand we have some the fumed silica, which is resistant, mechanically resistant, moderately hydrophobic, have good thermal properties, but it's costly. On the other hand, we have the precipitated silica, mechanically weak, hydrophilic, with not so good thermal properties, but cheap. And we have to answer to this question, to not only to make the choice between these two kind of silica, but really to design the core material, because there is also fiber, opacifier, getters, and binders, and so on. But that's a big topic today for research. Concerning the VIP envelope, we call them ultra barrier laminates. That's a multi-layer polymer metal with welded edges. And they have four main functionality obtained by one or several different layers. The mechanical resistance is often obtained by PET film. The manufacturing and lamination through adhesive. The sealing through polyolefin film. And finally, the barrier against air and water vapor by aluminium layer, either laminated aluminium, which is very tight, but lead to poor VIP conductivity, either metallized aluminium layer, which is which give good VIP conductivity, but it's a bit limit for the permeation of the gases. So the ongoing question about the barrier envelope is to optimize this complex architecture of the barrier to match these properties. Of course, the permeation, but the mechanical strengths also, and all the problem of damages during the manufacturing and service, as well as aging, because we want to operate during 50 years in the building. The cost, of course, is another point. The second family, the superinsulation at atmospheric pressure, is the family of the aerogel materials. And the main one is the silica aerogels. They are thermally very efficient, but mechanically very weak, as shown on this slide. This led to great brittleness and dust. So we have to manage this relation. And if we go to this space, material space, conductivity and some mechanical properties, the building application lead to have this goal area. And unfortunately, the bulk silica or gel is far from that place. And if we want to be realistic, we have to start not from bulk, but from the granular pure silica aerogel in light blue. And if we mix as a composite some silica aerogel with common polymer like polyurethane, we can obtain good mechanical properties, but the conductivity target is not reached in that way. So there is three approaches to get it. The first one is the binder or composite approach. The second is the fully organic aerogel, and the third is hybrid aerogels. The first family, binding or composite, is in the industrial or pre-industrial phases, and the material to make this panel with binding granular aerogel is a very perfect example of material by design, and you can see my presentation on March on this subject. I will skip this point today. The two other approach, organic and hybrid aerogel, are in the laboratory feasibility phase. For the organic aerogel, the big challenge is the balance between the density and the pore size. And we want to answer to the question of the possible chemical system of the what are the insurmountable limitation with the polymers, and is the biosourced viable. But we have also a hard point on the egoic behavior of these systems for the elaboration of the material itself, but also for the aging during service. And we can note some recent advances on that topic with cellulose acetate and aeropectin with very good conductivity here. We can note also the successful hydrophobization of aeropolysaccharide. And I think perhaps these materials are the next generation of material for super insulation for mass market like building. So it's here the opportunity for me to call to a French initiative to boost this research. For the hybrid aerogels, there is also action underway, and they aim to obtain some mechanical reinforcement and flexibility. To do that, it's done by architecturation at very small scale, as you can see, because the diameter of the primary particle of silica is around 10 nanometer. And we can note also some recent advances with very flexible cellulose silica aerogel, and also very promising hybrid silica polyurethane aerogel. Okay, that's time to go to the thermal storage material. Eve, tell us some words about yesterday. Thermal storage or inertia for what for? First, for erasing the heating during the peak consumption between 18 and 20 o'clock. But also to improve the efficiency of heat pumps with favorable temperature to operate and with and to operate with long cycle, which is good for the heat pumps. And finally, of course, for solar thermal capture, with time scale between the day and the season. If we this example is a plate of phase change material for walls in buildings, and this is we have three main functionality in such product. Of course, the storage of energy, but also the heat exchanger for the power of this system, and because of the liquid phase, the container also. And as you can see, that there is many material property involved in these functionality. The storage on one hand is a mass property, and the exchange is a transport property. So the we imagine that architecture could be the right way to catch the these 2 points. If we take for the example a very simple case, which is a panel of PCM restoring heat near the ambient temperature in the air, we obtain for the material performance index for this case this relation, and what we can see is that we have not only material parameter in blue, but also some system parameter in green. And what is this relation show? That we need an equilibrium between the exchange coefficient and the thermal resistance of the panel. And for air application, the value for H, the exchange coefficient are between 8 and 50 watt per square meter and per Kelvin. And if we consider a panel with a half thickness of 20 millimeter, this lead to a required conductivity over 1 watt per meter and per Kelvin. And if we plot the material properties in that space, the conductivity and the heat stored, we can see first that we need to go to the PCM to have the required energy density, but we see that there is no candidate with the right conductivity for this simple example. So we have to boost the conductivity of this material. This is done like we see the results, and by two way. One with a structure and the other with a microstructure, here steel wool. Okay, so there is no simple answer to the question by the material or by the structure, because of the strong coupling between the system and the material. It always depends on the application. Just a word about thermochemical storage, because it's a good example for needs about architecture and material. For building application, the salt hydration is very appealing, But in fact, it doesn't work very well because of insufficient energy density, low power, and irreversibility. And so there is a need, the need of a hierarchical controlled porosity like the lung, in order to give the opportunity to the active material to work well, to work well. So that's really a field where we want to approach this problem by the architecturation of material. If you have solution, please tell me. Finally, just an outlook to the future building envelope thermal components. Their main aim is to better get the free inputs, but there are many free inputs: heat, cold, clean air, light, and energy. And this involves thermal storage, of course, without forget the thermal insulation. And at the intersection lie the concept of active walls, and we can find very different possibilities. So that this constitute a fine field for architecture and material to give solution. Okay, just to conclude, I want to underline that the material for energy efficiency of building for many are multifunctional. Their development are widely based on the architecture of material at various scale, and so okay for filling gaps in material space, but not to fill the material pores, of course. Thank you for your attention.